Lord Vader, Operation Andor is underway.
Excellent. If we release 3 episodes per week, the Lorehounds will never be able to cover every episode. The Imperial forces will crush the rebellion before it begins.
Stand by. We're picking up something on our scanners.
Echo Squadron, reporting in.
Delta Squadron, on your left.
Django Squadron, on your 6.
With Imperial forces coming in fast, we're calling all Rebels to join the fight this season. Starting after the April 22nd premiere, you'll hear 3 full breakdowns for each week's episodes of Andor Season 2. Each podcast will be led by one of our squadron leaders, Alicia, David, and John. We'll be bringing in new and familiar voices to fill out the roster. Search for the Lorehounds on any podcast platform to join us in a galaxy far, far away. And don't forget to check out our season pass for even more content like our Holocron bonus pods. It's good news for anyone, except Darth Vader. Welcome to the Ted Lasso podcast. We're the Lorehounds, your guides to raising a genius. I'm John.
And I'm David, and this is our coverage for Season 3 of the Apple TV Plus original series, Ted Lasso.
In this podcast, we'll each be sharing our favorite laugh-out-loud moments before breaking down the 3 main storylines of Episode 10, International Break. Be sure to stick around to the end of the podcast for programming notes about our podcasting schedule for the rest of May.
Quick note about our Patreon. If you want to get early and ad-free access and exclusive content, visit us at patreon.com/thelorehounds. We're working on a subscription drive. We want to hit 100 members by our 1-year anniversary. We'll have some more details about that. We've got a cool thank you gift in production. Otherwise, if you're enjoying our content and you want to give us a leg up, leave us a review or rating on Apple Podcasts. Those ratings actually help other people find the podcast. And reviews really give people a sense about what's going on. So if they're choosing to, you know, check us out, then those are good clues for them.
Speaking of reviews, if you want to head over to Wool Shift Dust, our network affiliate, Alicia, is doing a podcast on the Silo Apple TV show, and she would really appreciate reviews as a new podcaster. Please give her a warm welcome to the network and show her the same love you've shown us. So thank you all for all the reviews so far. We hope you'll head over there and give Alicia a listen as well. A quick reminder that for this season of Ted Lasso, we're doing a short form recap. But to make these episodes a little more fun, we're asking for your help to break down the episodes. Send in your favorite moments, as well as comments on any of the plot lines that we haven't covered.
You can send those emails to lorehounds@thelorehounds.com or head to our website and use the voicemail or contact form. You can also post messages on our Discord. We've got a channel all set up there. People are chatting about the show, and we'll breeze through every once in a while and scoop up some of those comments and include them in our review of the episode. John, 2 episodes left. This was a pretty significant episode for a lot of reasons. What did you make of this episode 10?
A lot happened. A lot of movement happened on that plot.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that we had gotten movement on the Nate storyline earlier. I've been very on the record of not caring for Nate. I don't think that they've done service to the plotline they're trying to tell with him.
Okay.
And I think that this was a good first step. Some of the things didn't totally track for me. But I think that if they had started this halfway through the season, I would have been a lot happier.
Okay. So you wanted to see a longer arc for this?
Correct. Yes. Okay. I would have liked to see a longer Nate redemption arc. I don't think people change overnight. I don't think that we saw the crumbs leading him to this change early enough.
Okay. Got it.
That said, I had a lot of fun with this episode. I liked a lot of the storylines. I liked watching Keely sort of work through her own problems and be a little independent, but then learn how to ask for help. I liked seeing Roy finally come to terms with everything. I liked Roy in the tie-dye shirt. You know, there was a lot of good humor here. There was a lot of good character movement here. Jamie Tart, you know, wearing the jersey. The characters are all acting in ways that satisfy me and mm-hmm. in ways that make me feel like I'm watching this team come to its peak togetherness.
Right. Right.
And I love that. And mm-hmm. I do wish they had done the Nate storyline a little more protracted, but I guess we're too late for that now. We've got two episodes left, so I'm going to roll with it. I'm going to see where they take me. I hope it's good.
Yeah.
What about you, David?
Yeah, I think it was last episode where I said I had a shift in my framework for what the show is. I'm not trying to, for me, I'm not worried so much about all the individual plot lines hooking up directly. It's more about the vibes. And this episode was vibe laden. This was a huge emotional, just giant echo chamber of emotion. And I don't know what the show is doing to me, but I'm here for it. And right. I am going to be sad when it's over. I'm very much in strong favor of any show telling the story that it needs to tell, using the number of seasons that it needs to do to accomplish that goal. And then when it's done, it's done. Station 11 didn't need to be three seasons. One season, it told the story. Boom. It was gotcha. Great.
Yeah.
You know, tell the story that you set out. Allow the showrunner, the creative, the writers, the writer's room to tell their story, and then do that. And so I'm going to be super, super, super sad when this season is over. But I'm glad it's going to be over, and I'm glad that they're not going to try to milk it, because it's giving me a heightened sense every episode that we're creeping forward towards the end. The stakes for me are getting higher, and this episode really put things into a lot of perspective. And I get why the Nate thing could feel rushed or disjointed or sort of out of place. That said, how they filmed this and how they told the story in this episode to me was really moving and very touching. And I really liked how that all came about. I also loved seeing Rebecca really owning her power and figuring out a way to deal with a really dangerous and intractable situation, because we know that Okufu's the way that he's doing Sam, he could do that to any of those people. He's crazy and he's got resources.
Right.
And so you don't want to get tangled up with that guy, but she's able to do something with that. And Rupert as well. So it was really great to see her own her power. Really great to see Nate revolving through some of the stuff that he was going through. Yeah. So this was less of the ha-ha, I'm busting a gut. This was really feeling for Keeley, feeling for Roy. It was a much more emotional episode, I think, than a bust a gut episode.
And if I'm going to take a theme out of this episode, I would say connecting with your inner child.
Yeah.
That would
be because that's what Nate does, right?
That's what Rebecca does.
Right.
That's what she appeals to in the other captains, captains, owners. I think
even Keeley to a degree, that feeling that took me back, the of being, ghosted and rejected in a way. Yeah, and that touches a lot of adolescent feelings that we carry around inside of us.
Roy being given a t-shirt that he has to wear. he's got his best friend over for his little party. And
that's right.
Yeah. All right. Give me your favorite laugh out loud moment, David.
It has to be Rebecca doing her war face.
Okay.
In the mirror with her arms and her, and she's just reveling in the moment. And then the snap to seeing herself as a little girl and sort of discovering this new magic power, superpower that she has. I just really appreciated her arc this whole season, to really see her own herself, kind of like Ged in the Earthsea, which is another podcast that we're doing.
There you go.
She's being a whole person. And when you're whole like that, you have power. And so when she did that and stuck her tongue out and did the whole, I couldn't believe what I was watching for a moment. It really took me aback.
You didn't remember that from number two, from season two?
No.
There was a whole thing. She did that to teach Nate how to be confident.
That's right.
And when she did that, Keely said, fuck, let's invade France, something like that. it was great.
Right. I knew that there was some echo, but I forgot the direct call to that. So yeah. So it was just it was lovely. And it really made me laugh in not in a haha that was comedy scene, but it made me laugh for joy because she was really hitting a new level.
Right. Well, mine was Roy and Jamie being best friends. I really loved that. I love Jamie willingly paying into the swear jar. Mm-hmm. I love this whole relationship of, well, you talk about him all the time and you're always with him. It's Roy and Jamie as best friends is exactly what I wanted from this season. I'm almost surprised that Jamie didn't end up with Keely, but maybe they'll end up in a throuple and we'll all be happy.
Okay, that'll just be weird. But anyway, hey, it's modern
I'm putting
times.
It out there. Okay. I'm putting it out there.
Fair enough. I do have one critique. Nobody carries pound coins in their sweatshirt pocket like that. And I don't think a guy like that's going to walk around with a pocket full of change. Have you spent much time in the UK at all?
I spent a couple weeks there, yeah.
Okay. Do you remember the change? It's enormous and it's heavy. Yes. And
yeah. And also everywhere.
I used to have a jar. Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah,
before us, they were very into Apple Pay. Mm-hmm. And so you go to the pub and everywhere when you get a drink, they just like put the reader in front of you and use Apple Pay. Every single person has their phone out. They're not bringing out their wallet. So yeah, I did not see a lot of cash when I was over there.
Okay. Well, anyway, it works for the show. And Roy's niece is that actress is great. I really want to see her in more stuff.
Hopefully she's gotten over her breath problem from last season.
That's true. Jamie is his camaraderie with Sam and his friendship with Roy. He's a whole different person now.
Yeah. And it felt very natural. It felt very gradual.
Yeah.
It took three seasons to make him this person. And I'm proud of my boy.
Okay. Awesome.
He's no longer an ugly.
Ugly. Ugly. It's poopy.
Yeah. They did overuse the poop in this season. I'll say that. I mean, I think it's three times he's made that joke of it's just
I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
All right.
Maybe we'll get that on a t-shirt. Hashtag poopy.
All right. Let's get into this breakdown. The first plot line is Keely and Roy. Phoebe gives Roy a tie-dye t-shirt for Uncle Day, and his best friend Jamie comes to celebrate. After speaking with Phoebe's teacher, Roy decides to take action. Keely, on the other side, walks into her office to find it being cleared out. Barbara informs her that the investors have voted to cut her funding, which Jack did not tell her about. Distraught and in her cups, she takes advice from May, which makes her feel a little better. When she returns home, Roy professes his love for her. The two make up and Rebecca agrees to fund Keely's company. Barbara rejoins Keely.
This was, Keely's journey in this episode was a really emotional roller coaster. And the actress, I don't have the actress's name off the top of my head.
Juno Temple.
Thank you. Juno Temple is, her performance was just sublime. The looks on her face, the way she carried herself, still being bubbly and upbeat, but yet depressed at the same time at the bar. That's a really hard thing to do. And it was just a very sweet and sad and triumphant arc for her.
Right. I'm almost curious, why didn't Rebecca offer to do this when sooner. She first had interest in doing the firm? Mm-hmm. But I guess you know what it is. I think if I'm thinking back, I think that the firm approached Keely before she ever had the idea for a firm.
Yeah, that seems right.
You know, so I think that this idea came from Jack's VC firm.
Right. And I think Rebecca might not have been in the same place as she
financially,
is.
I think probably around the same place.
Sure, financially, but I'm in terms of.
Yeah. Oh, well, I got you.
You know, I got you. I got you, girl. You know, that this is no problem. Yeah. I mean, Rebecca's in a whole new level right now. And so for her to be able to see that and do that and offer that freely.
Although she did offer to buy a taste of Athens when Nate couldn't get a table.
Right.
So. Well, Yes, I enjoyed Healy's arc. I liked May saying, all right, you're going to get some food now. That's a good bartender, yes, giving you what right. you need, not what you want. I saw a TikTok the other day that made me laugh. I'm gonna tell it briefly. This guy goes to a bagel store every morning. He orders the same thing, bacon, egg, and cheese. And the guy always gives him something different. He looks back and he goes, give him the lox. And he goes, this bagel shop, it's giving me what I need, not what I want. and I think that's what May does for her customers. Yeah. She gives you what you need. Maybe it's a smack on the face. I don't know.
Right.
And
yeah, go.
Yeah, I really liked, I don't know if I liked Roy's way he came to Jesus metaphorically, that mm-hmm. he had his realization, like, oh no, one person said, you're going to hurt someone. And now suddenly I realize that I've hurt someone. Right. That was a little cheesy for me, but I did enjoy him having his, like, hello, I'm Roy Kent and I love you moment.
Mm-hmm. Right. The note was hilarious.
Yeah.
The tiny writing.
Yeah. And how she's like, yeah, I'm not going to be able to read that. You should just say it.
Which is a really great moment for us to witness the shift and the change. And the rekindling of their love. So, you know, that was really good. And I thought that for a real strong moment there, I thought it was going to be the teacher, and that was going to be where he blossomed into. I was not expecting the turn back to Keeley.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you catch that she was calling herself the mean name that the kids gave her last season?
No.
I think it was Fuckwitch.
Okay.
It was something stupid like that.
My goodness.
yeah, and she was like, nice one, fuckwitch, like just back to herself.
Right.
I love all these callbacks we get.
Yeah.
You know, she's calling back to that mean name she got last season from the students. But
well, you know who's a real F-witch is Jack.
Yes.
I am not impressed with Jack's behavior. The whole BS, oh, I'm in Argentina. You know, I'm so sorry. There's nothing I can do. That was just real slimy, just real cheap, shallow stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got to say, I was saying to my wife today, I could have used like half as much Jack storyline and double the Nate storyline.
Okay. I'll agree with that. Yeah. I would agree with that. Because like, Jack is gone now, and Nate has been a core part of the story from the beginning, literally from the beginning.
Right. I enjoy the Jack storyline. I think that it was an important moment for Keeley to sort of move past a toxic relationship and to sort of get some joy outside of Roy.
Right.
But yeah.
Well said.
But I just don't think I needed all those coffee shop dates. You know, I don't think I needed mm-hmm. all of the time that we spent with Jack.
They could have been more efficient with it.
Right. And when we really, I think we were starved for Nate content this season.
I'll agree with that. Yeah.
And this is coming from someone who profoundly dislikes the character as a person. That's true.
Yeah, which is why I'm like, oh, yeah, this is actually a well-reasoned argument that I can get behind.
Because I might like him by now if you would have let me see him and watch him struggle and maybe see him take baby steps of resisting Rupert and baby steps of trying to be a little kinder. And I didn't see that. All I saw was him pursue Jade, and I could talk all day about how I don't think that's, you know, kind. That's just trying to get something you want. And I saw him finally quit his job, which happens off screen.
Right. Well,
so anyway, I would have liked less Jack. You know, she was a fine character. She's an awful person, and good riddance. I did like Barbara suddenly going,
yes,
oh, I think I'd like to stay. What a lovely, awkward person.
Yeah.
And I like that Keeley cannot like love Barbara, like not want to hang out with Barbara, but understand her worth as an employee, understand her worth as a person who enforces rules that are important, and sort of just come to an understanding with her. You know, we thought she was going to be an antagonist this season. I think she was sort of a reluctant ally to Keeley in the end.
And I think that's part of Keeley's superpower is that she, with her charm and her wit and her bubbliness, she can get inside of you, inside your defenses. And and when she delivers something like the snow globe, it's honest and heartfelt and meaningful.
Right.
And it's delivered in this little, you know, bubbly, you know, excited package, but yet, you know, there's a lot of genuineness to Keeley.
Right.
And so getting inside of Barbara and then having Barbara feel that warmth and understand, hey, this person is great and a great person and somebody that I would love to work for, rather than being the hatchet man for this company going around and just putting right. the chop, putting all these people on the block. So,
yeah, I really like that. And I like that she gave, it was Shandy. Sorry, I couldn't even remember her name because right, she was in like two episodes.
Yeah.
And she gave Shandy a chance and let Keeley fail instead of being like, no, we're not hiring her, you know, really being directly opposed.
Right, right.
One last point. I almost selected for my laugh out loud moment, Roy coming out in the pink robe behind
yes.
Keeley, as Keeley saying, like, you don't want to make the mistake of going back to an ex or something, you know, something along those lines.
Right.
And there he comes behind her. And Rebecca's overjoyed to see him, right? She knows that that's going to be great for Keeley. But just him coming out, and I
especially
almost
if he,
to go, oi.
Especially if he turns out to be, you know, if there's some change in leadership and then he does end up being the head coach there.
I would love him to be
that's
the head
his boss.
Coach. I think he's really grown into the role. I think
well, he's
really
got to, that's the whole thing is, yeah, he's got to get out of his way. And what do you really want, man? You know, as Rebecca says to him, she challenges him. And if assuming that Ted's work is done here, and that these people have healed and found themselves and are playing with authenticity, what more is there for him to do as Ted Lasso?
Right.
Right? As right. this catalyst for change.
You know, you do a great thing and then you just become useless. That's life.
it's true. And, you know, what a great way to go out on that high note.
Yeah.
Three seasons.
I think that's
at a
great.
Championship level and then out. That's, you know, that's a total George Costanza move from Seinfeld. You know,
I've watched about 10 episodes of Seinfeld.
Wow. Okay. I'm not a deep Seinfeld guy. So interesting.
I couldn't get into it. So I find Jerry Seinfeld profoundly unfunny. I don't know what it is. There's some weird boomer humor happening there.
But without Seinfeld, there is a whole
range of shows
that could never be produced.
I love Curb Your Enthusiasm, and I think Larry David was the funny one the whole time. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that Jerry Seinfeld is funny even a little bit.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Send the emails. I got no dog in this fight. I'm just going to sit back and watch some popcorn.
That's fine. I'll have all the unpopular opinions tonight.
All right. Sounds good.
Let's move on to Rebecca and the team. After a 10-game win streak, Richmond is taking a break for some players to play for their home countries. Sam is snubbed, which he later finds out was a result of a bribe from Edwin Akufo as part of his vendetta against Sam. Akufo invites several club owners to discuss forming a Super League. Rebecca, invited by Rupert and attending on the advice of Higgins, appeals to the other club owners' love of the game and their inner children and causes the idea to lose support. Rupert tries to kiss Rebecca, and she finally feels free of him. A lot happened here. Why don't we start with the team here? You know, the team, they have had a 10-game win streak. That's a pretty big deal after having a long no-win streak earlier in the season.
And I think from what I gather from our UK listeners or other Premier League, you just don't have to be from the UK, because Premier League is international.
Right.
That the given streaks or, you know, the win-loss draws from week to week, you know, you're looking for that trend. You're not looking for consistency, back-to-back wins and back-to-back losses. So doing a 10-week streak is, I would say, extraordinary from what little I understand.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they've got this new play style that's hard to predict. It's hard for teams to learn how to play against it. I mean, Ted did it. You know, he implemented total football, but totally, right? He implemented it in their personalities, and I think it's paying off finally.
Total football hasn't been adopted by everyone because it does apparently have some weaknesses, and there's certain offensive strategies that will that can sort of shatter a total football thing.
Okay,
but I think what they're saying here with this is the dynamic of the individuals, that's what fits this team's playstyle.
Right.
It's not for every team. It's for this team.
Because they trust each other, because they all know each other so well.
And you've got these different strengths, and so they're not necessarily traditional strengths divided among the teams, you know, the different skill sets.
Right.
And so that's what works for these guys. 10 games, like, that's got to be extraordinary.
Yeah. Good for Ted.
Yes, all right. The last away is working.
Yes. What do you think about Edwin coming back?
I thought it was some of the finest comedy, and it was a great way to amp up the tension for this season, because as a device, how else are you going to get Rebecca and Rupert into the same room with each other?
Yeah.
But for this Super League scheme, which has apparently been tried. This is apparently based on some real stuff. I don't have a lot of details on it, but from what I understand, something like this was tried.
We've got a little feedback on it.
Okay, perfect. So to have Akufo, somebody we already know, if we hadn't known him from the previous season, it would have been weird. And to have him come in this way was absolutely delightful. To see his crazy just out in the open, you know, in full bloom.
Yep.
Well, I forget what his assistant's name is, the guy who does the handshakes Sam's like, wait, don't do this.
Yeah.
Do we really have to do this? Oh, psych. It was really lovely. So yeah, I was really glad to see Akufo back and
it reminds me of Nate, you know, trying to make fun of Ted and Ted fighting back with kindness. It's the same thing, right? I mean, Sam could throw him out of the restaurant and say, I'm going to sue you for interference in my business. But no, he's saying, okay, yeah, have your meal for free. I'll see you later.
Right. Yeah, Sam Richardson, the actor who plays Akufo, is just delivering a masterclass in crazy. Yeah.
He was also in Veep. We were just talking about Veep on our White House Plumbers podcast.
Oh, really?
Okay. Has an incredible range. He plays a completely different character in Veep.
Nice.
This White House aide who's just kind of dumb and like, hey, how are you? How can I help you? He's basically like a golden retriever type assistant.
Nice.
And it's just so funny to see, like, I didn't recognize him at first when he first came on the show, and I had to look it up and go, oh, that's who I've seen him as.
Right. Very cool. I thought the turn to the way that I was really nervous for how Rebecca was going to deal with this proposal to create the Super League. As I mentioned before, if Akufo doesn't like you, you're going to have problems, and you're going to have problems for a long time, because clearly this guy can hold a grudge. And so for Rebecca just to not go or to decline in that moment, so for her to be able to give that impassioned speech about what football means and what it means to so many people was, I thought, a really deft way for the writers to churn this very sticky predicament sort of inside and out, and then create this wonderfully comic moment where they all get sort of into, you know, get a lot of food thrown at them.
Could have saw that coming. Could have seen him doing something crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I did really like that. You know, you said it would have been hard for them to get in the same room. I mean, you could have stopped at them, you know, his invite scene if you wanted to get them in the same room. But I think what you got unique out of this plot, especially that you couldn't have done without a plot like this, is you got Rebecca to appeal to Rupert's emotion, to really talk to him for the first time without just small talk and digs.
Right. So did you clock that he's got a different assistant?
Yes.
There's some other things going on. So I wonder if Bex, his wife, has put the thumbscrews on him.
I think she's figured out that some things are happening. Also, there was a very brief line that said, oh, we've heard there's some misconduct over, you know, this inappropriate workplace behavior over at West Ham.
That's right.
I wonder if Nate, you know, he did his special move and he went to the press with with some details.
Interesting. All right. And what about Rupert trying to kiss Rebecca? He's clearly swooning for her. He's clearly in a vulnerable state, and he's reacting out of habit and what he knows.
No, he wants what he can't have. That's what he wants. He wants her because he sees other men desiring her.
But I think she's also really attractive in this moment. And for being a little insecure boy, but then, you know, his adolescent impulses take over for him. So I agree. I'm not disagreeing with you. I think it could be both and.
Yeah, I think Rupert is a serial cheater and will always go for an extramarital affair. And Rebecca is 20 times more attractive to him because he's not married to her.
Well, and she's 20 times more attractive because she's powerful in this moment, too.
Right. Right. She does not need him anymore.
Right.
And I think that's the moment where she sees him as a small man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how is this going to play out in the last, because I believe we've got to play West Ham again.
Yeah. Yeah. And without Nate, I wonder what's going to happen with Nate now. Is he going to go to Ted? Is he going to grovel for his job back? We know he's already been in the Richmond locker room.
Creepy. Is that creepy, John? Is that like stalking the hostess at the restaurant?
Yeah. Well, I don't think that was creepy. I don't think this particular thing now was creepy.
Creeping around a locker room and cleaning people's
uniforms?
Well,
when they weren't there, and that used to be his job. That's all right. That's
All right.
That literally was his job. I think that's okay.
So I guess we should change gears and talk about Nate now.
Let's do it. I think we're already touching on it anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
The pundits report that Nate quit his position at West Ham. Nate sulks as Jade leaves to visit Poland. He avoids the paparazzi and sneaks into his parents' house. There, he isolates for a time before finding his violin. Upon playing, his father walks in and they discuss their troubled relationship. His dad says he did not know how to parent a genius and apologizes for the pain he caused him. Did you buy this turnaround for Father Nate?
Sure.
You did?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did not.
Okay.
I thought it was very sudden. Mm-hmm. Two episodes, he's saying, I'll leave you to your girl talk. He's always, you know, dig here, dig there. He's been very callous with Nate. I've never seen a hint of warmth from him. It's not like it was there below the surface. I didn't see a hint of warmth from him at all in three seasons. Mm-hmm. And suddenly we have, well, I just loved you and you were a genius and I didn't know what to do with you, but really, you're my son and we're all here together. Let's hug and cry and you can play your violin for me and it's the saddest, smallest violin in the world. And I don't know. I didn't buy it. I thought that that was lazy writing. I thought that very rushed on that. It needed another half a season.
All right. So you're arguing with the writers here.
Yes, I am.
Yeah,
I am.
Fair enough.
I think they did a sloppy job with this arc here.
Well, my suggestion, it's the same thing that we did with Mando. Let go for the ride, take the vibes.
I'm still having fun.
Yeah, well, you're having fun, but you're not feeling the vibes. You know, you're having the opposite reaction that I had, at least.
I feel the vibe from the whole show except Nate's arc.
Well, I love this. I thought this was a really sentimental and lovely revealing of what is, you know, some of the trouble and the source of the troubles for Nate. Mm-hmm. He's, clearly we're shocked by his resignation. We don't know what's happening, and then they sort of, you know, dole it out. I can get that he's feeling pretty confused, disoriented, and he's probably been working himself tirelessly. So to be able to just sleep and and relax and not have the pressure of being the head coach of a major team on a major, you know, also on a major streak, just to let go. Because it's not like he came up the ranks and developed the skill set to deal with that day in and day out pressure of being a head coach for a big team. He was catapulted into that role. And so he hasn't built the psychological support structures that he needs to, you know, have that kind of a job. So just being able to let go and sleep, I don't know that he was sulking. I think he was confused, not sure what did he do the right thing, you know, what was going on. I do a quick side shout. Another laugh out loud moment was the come to Poland and help me put in light bulbs. Why? Yeah, yeah, funny. Yeah. that was pretty good. And then trying to get away from the paparazzi, and the only other refuge is his parents' home. And then, yeah, he goes down on the nostalgia trip. And so for Nate's father to see that his son has just quit that job, that is a marker of something serious going on with his son. And then to be in the nostalgia of listening to him play triggers that. And sometimes that's the way things happen. That's the way people, you know, maybe there's a lot of silence, and then suddenly there's a thing that connects and opens up. Granted, I am not going to disagree or argue with that. When we look on balance between Shandy and Jack, the screen time that we've could have got to had with Nate and working through some more of this, I think that would have been good. But then at the same time, I think what they're trying to do here is spring trap it on us. Right.
But you know it's coming, so it's kind of cheap, right? Like, we knew the whole season we were just waiting for a Nate redemption arc.
Sure.
So I think take your time, do it right, instead of being like, look, oh my God, this guy we said was a jerk actually is redeemed. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I think we all saw it coming. They should have taken their time and done it right.
So I think that I guess I can accept the argument towards the writers in terms of the characters and how things are playing out. I'm vibing it, and I'm all good with it. So,
and let's just say Nick Muhammad doing an amazing job as Nate.
Sure.
The actors are all doing a great job with the script they have. And even the writers are doing an excellent job with the show as a whole. Mm. I just wish there was this one structural change to the season.
Right. Yep. I get that. I do love the way that they filmed the violin playing, and that the way that overlapped and sort of vignetted with the other vignetted. That's not the right word, but they were cut scenes to other stuff that was happening with other characters. Mm-hmm. So it and the violin music itself lends itself to emotional. I don't know. I'm tired, so my brain isn't working in terms of languaging this here.
Almost manipulation, but in a positive way, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what music does in television shows and movies, is it's our cue to what should we be feeling in this
moment. It's the laugh sign. It's the cry sign when you see a late night TV host.
Exactly. And violin is perfectly tuned for that kind of, to evoke emotion, to be evocative in that way. So.
Well, I'm glad that we learned that Nate just needed to get laid and he'd be a chill guy.
It's true.
I'm not going to disagree.
Yeah,
that's what was missing. Well, do you think Nate is a genius? That's my last question for you.
Wunderkind.
He signed his name as Wonder Kid. Did you notice?
Yes, I did. I definitely noticed
that. Not Wunderkind.
Is he a genius? I don't know if I can answer that, because I don't know that we've seen the genius, the super genius stuff. Is he a natural talent that hasn't been developed, that has, you know, not had the space and the growth and the shepherding to grow? Certainly a genius. I have trouble with that word, but I don't know. Maybe that's just because of that word. That word's a bit loaded.
He's a modern day Goodwill Hunting.
How about them apples?
How about them baklava?
Yeah.
All right, David, let's get into listener
bubbles.
Feedback.
Maybe it should be bubbles, because that's the West Ham thing, is they pull bubbles.
Is so it?
How about them bubbles?
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm in. Let's get into listener feedback here. We didn't have a lot, so I pulled some from the Discord, and thank
we
you
did
all
get
for
one
your
email.
Involuntary contributions. But
maybe we should do this email first, because it relates to your attitudes towards Nate and this the way that the season's been going.
Fair enough. You want to read it to me then, since it's sure. directed towards me?
Jesse K. I have to agree with John. Sorry if I'm getting about wrong who on your show hates him. Here we go. Nate sucks. Never liked him, even before last season. He's so weaselly and slimy. There are too many apologists out for him out there. I see absolutely nothing about this dirtbag that is appealing. Every character has at least a tad of charm, except for this jerk. Thanks, Marcus DeLarcus.
Are you enjoying my slow clap?
Yes, I love it.
I have not liked Nate the whole last season. I mean, even when I rewatched season one, I'm like, oh, that's some poor behavior. Mm-hmm. Again, I wanted to have a good redemption arc, but I wanted to buy it, and I wish I did buy it. Right. Let's see. Let's see where they take us in the last couple episodes. Let's see where they
land us. Yep. All right. Next up, you got pulled a comment from Greg Saw on the Discord, and which is a little bit, I don't know, not in opposition, but pointing out something else. Finally, the Nate redemption arc begins. I love that his first stop was something for Will, since Nate treated him like garbage.
Yes, I agree. That was a good first move. I mean, that was a very personal thing he did with him. You know, punching down was really bad. You know, punching up to Ted, that was bad too. But I think it's almost worse the way he was abusive towards the Kit Man underneath him.
Will, who has on power rankings, has very little. And so it's easy to pick on somebody like that.
Right.
So. All right, last up is Rocky Zim. Love this episode. So the Super League was something that was attempted. The fans of teams who were going to join, I believe, protested a lot because the prices were going to go up. So there you go. Would love to hear some more information about the Super League stuff. And I could totally see, I mean, going to any professional sports is expensive enough. I mean,
it is. I'm thankful that I don't like sports.
Yeah, right. You know, to pay those prices, you know, the food is exorbitant, you know, parking, childcare, depending on ages.
You have to buy the string for your ding dong. I mean, it is a lot of expenses.
Oh, man. I'm tired. that one just hit like so weirdly. That was a great episode, though. That was absolutely hilarious. That was. So. That's it for feedback. We are two to go. Let's see where we go. I think for the season finale, we definitely will need your feedback. We want your takes. So make sure to send it into lorehounds@thelorehounds.com or head over to our website. As always, there is the Discord. John, you want to give a quick shout to our Patreon supporters?
Yes, we have our lore masters, our top tier, the heroes of our community. As well as all the lore hounds patrons, you know, you're keeping these podcasts coming out, keeping us supported.
The bits flowing.
We feel the love, but our lore masters in particular get these shout outs at the end of every podcast. So here we go: Samartian, Cyrus, Mark H, Michael G, Michelle E, David W, Brian P, Nick W, SC, Peter OH, Bettina W, Adam S, Nancy M, Lavinia T, Duve 71, Brian 8063, Frederick H, Sarah L, Gareth C, Eric F, Matthew M, Sarah M, and DJ Miwa. Thank you all so much. You are all excellent supporters, and we are so looking forward to doing more for you in our second year, because our anniversary is coming up. We're going to be giving out a commemorative sticker to everyone subscribed by the end of July, and you can't get it anywhere else. It's going to be a one-time deal. We will mail it to you if you provide your mailing address through Patreon, and we will email something to you if you do not. So we're looking forward to doing that. We have other plans for our second year, and keep up on the Second Breakfast episodes if you want more details for that. David, you want to talk quickly about what we have coming?
Sure. We're in the middle of May. We just did some planning for June. First, though, very important, if you've not already heard the good news, our contributor and friend Alicia in Amsterdam fired up her own podcast to cover the show on Apple TV called Silo. It's a very cool dystopian sci-fi mystery box thing. And Alicia decided to joined forces with us, and she is now platformed on our network. So we are super excited that she agreed to come over. Check out her podcast called Wool Shift Dust. We've got a Discord channel set up for her as well. And I think as we're recording, the episode just dropped, episode 4 just dropped. So I'm going to jump off of here and go watch that episode, but go check out her podcast. We've got coming up, Barry, White House Plumbers, and Ted Lasso are all wrapping up the last week of May, and we'll have podcasts on all of those. Be sure to send in your season takes to us so that we can get those into the episode. We just recorded a very long episode with Marilyn on our next book in the Earthsea cycle that we're covering of Ursula K. Le Guin's books. We did Tombs of Atuan. It was a really fun conversation. It was in depth, and we considered a lot. It was good. So that should be out next week. We've got a Spider-Man prep podcast with John and Alicia, which will also be out later in the week, getting ready for Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. And we've got a few more things at the end of the month, but we'll talk about those in the next week. So lots going on. I'm looking forward to June because it's going to slow down a little bit.
Yes. Yeah. We're going to take a little breather. You know, we have, you know,
take a breath.
Breather is like 12 podcasts coming out.
Right, for us.
But yeah, but then towards the end of the month, it's going to heat up again. So we will be back with you very quickly.
We just got a whole bunch of new dates released as well, and the back half of the year is going to be filling up very soon. So hang tight with us, and we'll keep those announcements flowing on the Discord channel and on here as well.
Very cool.
Okay, thanks everyone. We'll see you next week. We'll see what happens to Nate.
The Lorehounds podcast is produced and published by The Lorehounds. You can send questions and feedback and voicemails at thelorehounds.com/contact. Get early and ad-free access to all Lorehounds podcasts at patreon.com/thelorehounds. Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities. Thanks for listening.
Hey, Mark, I was listening to Paramore the other day, and it really made me think about the amygdala and the limbic system.
You just made those words up, didn't you?
What, Paramore?
We're the Nevermind the Music podcast, where one musician
and one psychologist
talk songwriting and the mind, one song at a time.
We'll hear everything from Green Day and Outkast
to Stevie Wonder and Dua Lipa.
And we mostly try to stay on topic.
Except for when we don't want to.
Nevermind the Music, wherever you get your podcasts.